Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Viewers, this is the 12th episode of the 18th topic. The 18th topic, as you would recall, deals with the isnad of the 7 canonical readings. We had discussed all the 7 readers earlier on in all these previous episodes, and today, inshallah, I will take up the critique which I had mentioned in my last talk that has been put forth by Tabri on the reading of the ittisal of the isnad of Abdullah ibn Amir. We have seen in the previous episodes that it's a far cry to claim that any of these readings is mutawatir, and we have even seen that many of them are munkata and broken, and they even hardly qualify to be ahad. So, as I said, today I shall take up and summarize the critique of Abu Ja'far al-Tabri on the isnad of the reading of Abdullah ibn Amir and the way it has been reported by Abdullah ibn Amir from Al-Mughira ibn Abi Shahab, and then he has read it from Usman ibn Affan. So basically his critique is that if Abdullah ibn Amir has read out the Quran, or Mughira ibn Abi Shahab is his teacher, and then Usman is the teacher of Mughira himself, then this is the chain that he has criticized. Now, his critique has actually been put forth by 3 famous authorities. Ad-Dani has put it forth in his Jami' al-Bayan, and then we have As-Sakhawi in his Jamal al-Qurra, and then we have Zahabi in his Ma'rifat al-Qurra al-Kibar. And they have, these 3 personalities and these 3 outstanding scholars of Qiraat have actually summarized the critique of Tabri and also endeavored to answer it. So let me first take up the critique that they have summarized. Basically, it consists of 3 points which have been posited by these 3 authorities, and these 3 authorities have actually have informed us that this critique which Tabri has made, the way they had received it, and therefore later on, inshallah, I will also present how they have responded to Tabri's critique, and finally I shall then present my own views on the critique of Tabri as well as on the response which these 3 famous authorities have given to Tabri. So the first critique which Tabri has presented on the ittisal of the reading of Abdullah ibn Amir, and of course when I say Abdullah ibn Amir, as I said, it specifically refers to this chain, Abdullah ibn Amir to Mughira ibn Abi Shahab to Usman ibn Affan. So the first critique which Tabri has said is that there is no one who has claimed that he read out the Quran to Usman ibn Affan. And there are in fact very few people or very few readings which have been preserved and transferred from Usman ibn Affan. And his basic contention is that if Usman had taught this reading to Al-Mughira ibn Abi Shahab, then there would have been others as well from Usman ibn Affan, his close one, his favored ones, whom he must have taught the Quran. They were obviously people who were more closer to him than Al-Mughira ibn Abi Shahab. For example, his associates, his colleagues, his children, his immediate family members, and even his liberated slaves, Mawlas. But we find that there's no such existence. And as far as distant relations of Usman are concerned, there are also many. But it seems that there's no one who has transmitted any recital in this regard. And he says that if how can it be believed that if people who are so close to him, his companions and his own students and his own colleagues and his own family members, when they have not transmitted any reading from him, and when they have not been taught by him, then how can it be supposed that Al-Mughira, who was not as close to Usman as some of his family members, and why would have he taught them? So he says that in the absence of any claimant of the fact that he has transmitted the reading of Usman, which is attributed to Abdullah ibn Amir, and Abdullah ibn Amir reading out to Al-Mughira, he says that why should this claim be considered at all in the first place? Now, the second point which Tabari has raised in this regard is that Iraq ibn Khalid, who has narrated a report that Abdullah ibn Amir read out the Quran to Al-Mughira ibn Abi Shahab, and who himself then acquired from Usman, is an unknown person. So Iraq ibn Abi Khalid, who is the source of this report, that actually Abdullah ibn Amir acquired his reading from Al-Mughira ibn Abi Shahab, and he acquired his reading from Usman. So Iraq ibn Khalid, who reports this fact, is an unknown person. He in fact calls him Majhul. He says that He's also not known as a Quran memorizer, and the only person to narrate from Iraq ibn Khalid is Hisham ibn Ammar. So this is the second point which has been raised by At-Tabri. The third critique, viewers, which has been raised by At-Tabri is that Abdullah ibn Amir has ascribed his reading to the people of Syria and not to any person in particular. So this point that he has made is that had he ascribed his reading to a single person or an authority, he would have named that person or authority. But he has presented some details in this regard, and he says that actually Abdullah ibn Amir ascribes or attributes his reading to the people of Syria. Now, he says that this is evident from Abdul Hamid ibn Bakkar's report, which I'm now just going to read out, and this report has also been recorded by Adani in his Jami' al-Bayan. So, it says, I'm going to read out from the place it has been reported. قال حدثني عبد الحميد بن بكار قال حدثنا أيوب بن أبي تميم أن يحيى بن الحارث أن عبد الله بن عامر أن هذه الحروف أن هذه حروف أهل الشام التي يقرؤونها. So Abdul Hamid ibn Bakkar said, Ayyub ibn Tamim narrated to us from Yahya ibn al-Haris, who reports from Abdullah ibn Amir, that these huruf are of the people of Syria, which they read. So, hazihi hurufu ahli sham allati yaqra'unaha. So, these are the huruf, or these are the recitals of the people of Syria, which they read. So, in other words, what he has meant is that Abdullah ibn Amir actually met many companions, and had he acquired his reading from Usman through Mughira ibn Abi Shahab, then he would definitely have named these people. He would have named Al-Mughira ibn Abi Shahab as his teacher, and the fact that his teacher had acquired his reading from Usman radiallahu anhu as well. So in the absence of this inscription, Tabri is skeptical of the fact that this could have happened, and that Abdullah ibn Amir actually had acquired the reading of Usman through Mughira ibn Abi Shahab. In this regard, Dani has also recorded a similar narrative, which tells us that actually this reading has been acquired from the people of Syria. I'm going to read it again from the place where it has been reported. It says, حدثنا سويد بن عبد العزيز ويوب بن التميم عن يحيى بن الحارث الزماري أنه حدثهما. And this actually report has been the way from where I have been reading is from Hisham ibn Ammar. So actually, it would be حدثنا هشام بن عمار قال حدثنا سويد بن عبد العزيز ويوب بن التميم القاري أن يحيى بن الحارث الزماري أنه حدثهما أن عبد الله بن عامر اليحسبي أنه كان يقرأ هذه الحروف ويقول هي قراءة أهل الشام. So Hisham ibn Ammar said, Suwaid ibn Abd al-Aziz and Ayyub ibn Tamim reported to us from Yahya ibn al-Haris al-Zumari that he told both of them that Abdullah ibn Amr told him that he read these haruf and would say, this is the reading of the people of Syria. So this is the point of critique is, and the third point of critique is that basically At-Tabri says that his inscription of the reading that he has presented is not to any particular authority. It is actually to the people of Syria, and hence this is a three-point summary, viewers, of the critique which Tabri has presented. So, just in a nutshell, the first point of his critique is that no one claims that he has reported the reading of Usman, and the fact that people have transmitted Usman's recitals are very few, and in fact, there's no one who can be singled out. And had Usman taught Al-Mughira ibn Abi Shahab, who then later taught Abdullah ibn Amir, then the fact is that he would have taught many other people who were closer to him as from Al-Mughira ibn Abi Shahab. So he says, is a clear proof of the fact that Al-Mughira ibn Abi Shahab was never taught by Usman. The second point of critique is the personality of Iraq ibn Khalid, and he says that he is an unknown person. And the third point of his critique is that Abdullah ibn Amr himself has ascribed his reading to the people of Syria. He has had there been a person to whom he had ascribed his reading, whom his reading would have actually been ascribed to, he would have definitely mentioned him, especially if it had been Usman, because he was a person who was a famous personality and authority. So had he acquired his reading from Usman through Al-Mughira, then he would have mentioned these personalities. On the contrary, we find reports saying that he said that his reading is the reading of the people of Syria. So viewers, this in a nutshell is the critique of Abu Ja'far al-Tabri. And as I said, it has been presented by these three authorities, the Sakhawi, Ad-Dani, and Az-Zahabi, the three of them. So now let me also present a summary of the response given to this critique by these three authorities. So these three authorities have summarized the reading, the critique of Al-Tabri, and they have also given their response. Now, according to Ad-Dani, he says that it is not correct that no one has claimed that Usman taught him the Quran. So remember, the first critique was that there is no claimant in history who has been recorded that he has been taught the Quran by Usman. He says that Abu Abdul Rahman al-Sulami read it out to him and also specified that Usman taught him the Quran. Similarly, Abu al-Aswad al-Duwali and Zir ibn Hubaysh also read out the Quran to Usman. So actually, Ad-Dani is challenging this basic claim of Abu Ja'far ibn Jarir al-Tabari, that no one has claimed that he was the student of Usman, or Usman read it out to him. He is in fact presenting people like Abu Abdul Rahman al-Sulami. And similarly, Abu al-Aswad al-Duwali and Zir ibn Hubaysh, who also, according to him, read out the Quran to Usman. Now, Az-Zahabi, in his Ma'rifat al-Qurra al-Kibar, is of the opinion that it is quite possible that Al-Mughira could have insisted upon Usman to teach him and was able to convince Usman, and he would have listened to Al-Mughira's reading. It is also possible that Al-Mughira could have listened to Usman when he was finishing his tahajjud recital of the Quran, and it is furthermore also possible that Al-Mughira read out his reading to Usman in a very short time. So he is presenting various options or various possibilities of how this could have happened. Now, in this regard, Ad-Dani has recorded the following narratives as well. Now, as I said, that he has said that people like Abu Abdul Rahman al-Sulami, Zir ibn Hubaysh, Abu al-Aswad al-Duwali, he has claimed that these are the people who have read out the Quran to Usman. So it's not just merely a claim that he has made. He has also presented concrete evidence in this regard, and this evidence is in the form of narratives that he has presented. And I'm now going to read out those narratives very briefly before you, and then later on, as we would progress, we shall see how they stand to the test of criticism. So the first person that he is reporting in this regard is Abu Abdul Rahman al-Sulami. And the narrative that he has himself recorded, obviously Dani in his Jami al-Bayan, the narrative is being displayed before you. I'm going to read out from the place from it has been reported. So, قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا هَارُونُ بْنُ حَاتِمٍ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا حُسَيْنَ أَنْ مُحَمَّدِ بْنِ أَبَانَ أَنْ عَلْقَمَ بْنِ مَرْسَدْ عَنْ أَبِي عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ أَنَّهُ عَلَّمَهُ الْقُرْآنَ عُثْمَانُ بْنُ عَفَّانَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. So Harun ibn Hatim said, Hussein reported to us from Muhammad ibn Aban, who reported from Al-Qama ibn Marsad, who reported from Abu Abdul Rahman al-Sulami, that Usman taught him the Quran, that Usman taught Abu Abdul Rahman al-Sulami the Quran. This is the first of the narrative viewers that he has cited. Let me now cite the next narrative, and again, this narrative also tells us that Usman taught the Quran to Abu Abdul Rahman al-Sulami, and this also has been recorded by Ad-Dani in his Jami al-Bayan. So the words are حدثني إبراهيم بن أحمد بن عمر الوقي عن أبيه قال حدثنا الحسن بن علي الجعفي عن محمد بن أبان عن علقمة بن مرصد أن أبا عبد الرحمن تعلم القرآن من عثمان. So أحمد بن عمر الوقي said الحسن بن علي الجعفي narrated to us from Muhammad ibn Aban, who reported from Al-Qama ibn Marsad, that Abu Abdul Rahman al-Sulami learned the Quran from Usman. Though, see, the second evidence which has been presented by Ad-Dani vis-a-vis the fact that actually it is a wrong claim that no one has said that he was taught the Quran by Usman ibn Affan. So this is one of his evidences that he has presented, and we are continuing with this evidence which has been presented by Ad-Dani. And I am now going to present a third report in this regard, again with respect to Abu Abdul Rahman ibn Sulami being the student of Usman vis-a-vis the Quran. And this also has been recorded by Ad-Dani in his Jami' al-Bayan. And the words are, An Asim ibn Bahdala, wa Ata' ibn Sa'i, wa Muhammad ibn al-Saqafi, wa Abdullah ibn Isa ibn Abi Layla, annahum qara'ul Qur'an ala Abdirrahman ibn Abdullah ibn Habib al-Sulami, wa zakaru anna Aba Abdirrahman akhbarahum annahu qara' ala Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu ammat al-Qur'an. وَكَانَ يَسْأَلُهُ عَنِ الْقُرْآنِ
وَكَانَ وُلِّ الْأَمْرُ فَيَشُكَّ عَلَيْهِ وَيَكُولِ
إِنَّكَ تَشَغَلْنِي عَنْ بَعْضِ أَمْرِ النَّاسِ فَعَلَيْكَ بِزَيْدِ بْنِ ثَابِتِ فَإِنَّهُ يَجْلِسُ لِلنَّاسِ وَيَتَفَرَّغُ لَهُمْ وَلَسْتُ أُخَالِفُهُ فِي شَيْءٍ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ So Asim ibn Bahdala, Ata' ibn Sa'ib, Muhammad al-Saqafi and Abdullah ibn Isa ibn Abi Layla said that Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami informed them that he would generally read out the Quran to Usman and that he would ask questions from him. So the words are وَكَانَ يَسْأَلُهُ عَنِ الْقُرْآنِ He would ask questions from him about the Quran. When he became the caliph, that is when Usman became the caliph, this became burdensome for him. Teaching and answering questions is referred to, that became difficult for him because of the fact that he had become the caliph and obviously become more involved in the affairs of the state. And he said, you have involved me and taken me away from the matters of people. So now get hold of Zayd ibn Thabit. He sits before people and devotes his time to them. And I do not differ with him in anything regarding the Quran. So what Usman is reported to have done in this particular report is, and this narrative is, that he has actually presented his excuse that after becoming the caliph, it is not possible for him to maintain his teaching position, or the fact that he was giving time to teach the Quran, and he has actually asked people that they should refer. He asked Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami that you should now revert to Zayd ibn Thabit, and Zayd ibn Thabit is the person who actually teaches the Quran the way he used to, the way Usman used to, and that Usman does not differ in any matter with Zayd ibn Thabit. So this is as far as the three narratives are concerned, viewers, regarding the fact that Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami was a student of the Quran of Usman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu. Now he goes on with this evidence, Ad-Dani, and presents Zir ibn Hubash as also another student in this regard of Usman. So this narrative, viewers, has been recorded by Abu Bakr ibn Mujahid in his Kitab al-Sabra. And I'm going to read it from the place where it has been reported. So it says, قَالَ حَدَّثَنِي الْحَسَنُ بْنُ مُحَمَّدِ بْنِ سَعِيدِ بْنِ مُحَمَّدِ بْنِ عَمَارَ بْنِ عُقْبَى قَالَ قَرَأْتُ عَلَى سُلَيْمِ بْنِ عِيسَى الْحَنَفِي وَقَرَأَ سُلَيْمِ عَلَى حَمْزَةَ الزَّيَّاتِ قَالَ وَقَرَأَ حَمْزَةَ عَيْزٍ عَلَى سُلَيْمَانَ بْنِ مِهْرَانَ الْعَامِشِ وَقَرَأَ سُلَيْمَانَ عَلَى يَحْيَى بْنِ وَسَّابَ وَقَرَأَ يَحْيَى عَلَى أَصْحَابِ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ وَقَرَأَ يَحْيَى أَيْضًا على زر بن حبيش وزر قرأ على عثمان قرأ على علي وعثمان وعبد الله رضي الله تعالى عنه. So Al-Hasan ibn Muhammad ibn Sa'id said, I read out the Quran to Sulaim ibn Isa, and Sulaim read out to Hamza al-Zayyad, and Hamza read out to Sulaiman ibn Mihran al-Amash, and Sulaiman ibn Mihran read out to Yahya, and Yahya read out to the companions of Abdullah ibn Masud. And Yahya also read out to Zir ibn Hubaysh, and Zir read out to Ali and Usman and Abdullah. And Abdullah, of course, here refers to Abdullah ibn Masud. So this is the narrative that Dani presents in support of the fact that another person who is a student of the Quran from Usman ibn Affan is Zir ibn Hubaysh. The third person that he has presented as evidence in this regard is Abu al-Aswad al-Duwali. And this narrative, viewers, has also been recorded by Abu Bakr ibn Mujahid in his Kitab al-Sabra. And again, it has been reported thus that حَدَّثَنِي الْحَسَنُ بْنُ مُحَمَّدِ بْنِ سَعِيدِ بْنِ مُحَمَّدِ بْنِ عَمَارَ بْنِ عُقْبَى قَالْ قَرَأْتُ عَلَى سُلَيْمِ بْنِ عِيسَى الْحَنَفِي وَقَرَأَ سُلَيْمِ عَلَى حَمْزَى الزَّيَّاتِ وَقَرَأَ حَمْزَى عَلَى حُمْرَانِ ابن عيون وقرا حمران على ابي الاسود الدولي وقرا ابو الاسود على علي وعثمان رضي الله تعالى عنهما. So Al-Hasan ibn Muhammad ibn Sa'id said, I read out the Quran to Sulaiman ibn Isa, and Sulaim read it out to Hamza al-Zayyad, and Hamza read out to Humran ibn Ayun, and Humran read out to Abul Aswad al-Duwali, and Abul Aswad read out to Ali and Usman. So here again is an evidence that another student of Usman emerging is Abul Aswad al-Duwali, as per this report. So this is the evidence which he presents, and he also criticizes Adani, that is, criticizes the principle coined by Tabari vis-a-vis had Al-Mughira read out the Quran to Usman, then others too must have been part of his teaching from Usman, whether from among his near ones or distant ones. And if near ones were not part of the teaching, then it cannot be accepted that the distant ones would be having part of this teaching. So this has been also criticized by him. And Adani says that he has already given examples of the distant ones from Usman had taught the Quran. And when he says this, of course, he's referring to these three gentlemen, Abu Abdul Rahman al-Sulami, Zayd ibn Hubash, and Abul Aswad al-Duwali. So he says that this is a clear indication of the fact that Usman did teach to people who were not as close to him as his own relatives or his own family. But again, he says that these are the people that he taught to. And he further says that if it is accepted that since no near ones like his family members and other close relatives were taught by him, then why should it be accepted that Al-Mughira was taught by him? And then if this is the case, then what about the students of people like Ubay, Zayd ibn Sabit, Abdullah ibn Masud, and other prominent prominent companions who had students that were not from their family, relatives, or near ones? So conversely, he says that what about people like these three authorities who had students that were not from their family and relatives or near ones? Those who were their students, in spite of being distant in relationship with them, were unanimously accepted as their students by the Ummah. So if these people and these gentlemen taught to their distant students but never taught to their family, so he said that this is something, a clear proof of the fact that in this case, this could have existed, that a person is teaching someone who is not as close as his family or his colleagues or his slaves, but he's teaching people who are his distant from him. Then we find examples of this case or this scenario in the case, for example, of Zayd ibn Sabit, Ubay, and Abdullah ibn Masud. So if this exists in their case, then why should we not accept it in the case of Usman as well? So he further says that those who were their students, in spite of being distant in relationship with them, were unanimously accepted as their students by the Ummah. Also, he says that it is also possible that there could have been other students of Usman who had read out the Quran to him besides Al-Mughira, but because they were taught people, they never became prominent. Again, he's presenting another option, another possibility, because he says that there could have been other students, but they did not become as prominent. Similarly, there could have been ones who did learn from Usman, but because they had a weak memory, people did not take their reading. So he is again presenting various options, and he's saying that this is a very frail principle which has been coined by Tabari, that if near people have not, very close relatives are not the ones who are reporting something as from their teacher, then why should it be that distant people are also not present? So he says that in this particular case, as in the case of, for example, Abdullah ibn Ka'ab and some of the others, we find that there are actually no family members or close ones reporting narratives. In fact, we find distant people who have become students of these personalities. Now, Az-Zahabi, in his Marifat al-Qurra al-Kibar, says that it is possible that a whole group could have read out the Quran to Usman, but they did not ascribe their reading to him and also did not become famous. That is the reason. It is also possible that they could have heard a few readings from him when Usman used to recite the Quran in one night, as is claimed by some authorities. So this is a summary of the critique a response, I would say, on the critique of Tabari on the first point. The first point of Tabari has been responded to in the way I have just summarized by these three authorities. I'm going to continue with the second point. And as I said earlier on, my own take on Tabari's critique and the response of these three authorities on Tabari's critique will be presented later on. But as for now, I'm presenting the response of these authorities on the critique of Tabari. So we have just covered the first point of his critique, the response which these gentlemen have given on the first point of critique of Tabari. Now, let us take the second point, which has been responded to by these three authorities vis-a-vis Tabari's critique. So Adani says that At-Tabri's critique that Iraq is majhul because only Hisham ibn Ammar narrates from him is not correct. So he's challenged this basic contention which has been made by Abu Jafar, that Abu Jafar al-Tabri, that Iraq ibn Abi Khalid is majhul because only Hisham ibn Ammar narrates from him. He says that it is not correct. because Abdullah ibn Zakwan also narrates from Iraq. So it's not just Hisham ibn Umar. He says that another gentleman who narrates from Iraq, Ibn Khalid, is Abdullah ibn Zakwan. And for this, he has actually cited the narrative that is now being displayed before you. An Ibn Abbas قال لما عزي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بابنته رقية امراة عثمان قال دفن البنات من المكرمات. So Ibn Abbas said, when the Prophet Muhammad was condoled on the death of his daughter Ruqayya, who was Usman's wife, he said, burial of daughters is a good deed. And this, viewers, has been recorded by Dani in his Jami al-Bayan, Fil Qirat al-Sab'a al-Mashura. Now, let me just present a small input vis-a-vis this narrative. This narrative, viewers, as you would recall earlier on, has been presented by Ad-Dani, signifying the fact that it's not just Hisham ibn Ammar who reports from Iraq. Abdullah ibn Zakwan also reports from Iraq. And this is the narrative that he has presented in support. Now, it may be noted that this narrative is concocted. This has been specified by authority. It has been recorded in the Al-Mawzu'at of Ibn al-Jawzi and Al-Ali al-Masnu'a of As-Suyuti. Both Usman ibn Atta and his father, Atta ibn Abi Muslim, are extremely unreliable who figure in this chain of narration. Now, the problem, one point of redemption is that since this chain of narration from Ad-Dani till Iraq is flawless, the conclusion can be drawn from this narrative by Ad-Dani that Abdullah ibn Zakwan also narrates from Iraq ibn Khalid. It cannot be negated. So, since the narrative is flawless from Ad-Dani to Iraq, and we know that from Dani to Iraq, we already see that Abdullah ibn Zakwan figures in that particular chain. So therefore, it is not wrong we would say that we will not criticize in this regard the fact that this is not true, because the concoction is from later on, from the later part of the isnad. As far as the isnad is concerned, from Ad-Dani to Iraq, this is flawless. Now, Zahabi also says that At-Tabri's view that Iraq is majhul is not correct. Now, previously we were considering the comment of Ad-Dani. Now, Zahabi has stepped in and said in his Marifat al-Qurra al-Kibar that At-Tabri's view that Iraq is majhul is not correct. He is in fact famous. Hisham and Rabi ibn Salib read out the Quran to him, and a whole group has heard from Iraq. Now, in this regard, Dani also points out that Iraq is not the only person who reports through Yahya ibn al-Haris, and that Abdullah ibn Amr read out the Quran to al-Mughira ibn Abi Shahab, who read out the Quran to Usman. So he says that this is also not correct. Four other prominent Syrians report this from Yahya ibn al-Haris, and they include al-Walid ibn Muslim, Ayyub ibn Abi Tamim, Suwaid ibn Abdul Aziz, and Hisham ibn al-Ghaz. So, in other words, what he's saying is that Iraq is not unique in reporting the isnad of Abdullah ibn Amr's reading. It has corroboration or mutabi'at from other four personnel as well. So, as you have seen, that it is not just a single person, but he has added four further people in this regard. So, besides Iraq, we have four other people reporting this from Yahya ibn al-Haris. I'm now going to just briefly present these narratives before you so that the point can be further corroborated. So the first of them is Walid ibn Muslim, and his narrative has been reported by Ad-Dani in his Jami al-Bayan, and it says قال حدثنا الوليد بن مسلم أن يحيى بن الحارث الزماري أنه قرأ على عبد الله بن عامر اليحسبي وأنه قرأ على المغيرة بن أبي شهاب وأن المغيرة قرأ على عثمان بن عفان. So as you can see, viewers, from this chain of narration, that it is not just Iraq who reports from Yahya ibn al-Haris. We find another gentleman, which I've just referred to, and he's Walid ibn Muslim. And the simple translation of this would be, Al-Walid ibn Muslim read to us from Yahya ibn al-Haris that he read out the Quran to Abdullah ibn Amir, and that he read it out to Al-Mughira ibn Abi Shahab, and that Al-Mughira read out to Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now the second person who reports from Yahya ibn al-Haris, now this is besides Iraq ibn Khalid. And the second person, viewers, has also been recorded by Ad-Dani in his Jami al-Bayan. As I said, his name is Ayyub ibn Tamim. And the narrative is, حَدَّثْنَا هِشَامُ ibn عَمَّارِ قَالْ قرأت على أيوب بن تميم وقرأ أيوب على يحيى وقرأ يحيى على ابن عامر وابن عامر قرأ على المغيرة ابن أبي شهاب وإن المغيرة قرأ على عثمان وليس بينه وبينه أحد. So Hisham ibn Ammar said, I read out the Quran to Ayyub ibn Tamim, and Ayyub read it out to Yahya, and Yahya read it out to Ibn Amir, and Ibn Amir read it out to Al-Mughira, and to Al-Mughira ibn Abi Shahab, and Al-Mughira read it out to Usman, and there was none between the two. So we find a second person who reports from Yahya ibn Amir, and he is actually Ayyub ibn Tamim. So he is actually presenting people that there are other people besides Iraq who have reported this narrative from Yahya. Now the third narrative in this regard, viewers, this has also been reported by Ad-Dani in his Jami al-Bayan. This report shows that Ayyub ibn Tamim, Hisham ibn al-Ghaz, and Sadaqa ibn Khalid and Suwaid ibn Abdul Aziz are the people who also report from Yahya ibn Amir, from Yahya ibn al-Haris. We have already discussed this narrative earlier on. I'm not going to go into the details of reading it. You can just view it on the screen. Just a brief reading of the translation of the narrative would be that Ahmad ibn Yazid al-Halwani said, I asked Hisham ibn Ammar, can I read this qira'ah from you, from Ayyub, who reports from Suwaid ibn Abdulaziz, who reports from Yahya, who reports from Ibn Amir, and that Ibn Amir read out the Qur'an to Al-Mughira, and Al-Mughira read out to Usman. He said, yes. Ahmad ibn Yazid al-Halwani said, it has been narrated from Al-Abbas ibn al-Walid, from Yahya ibn Abdul Hamid ibn Bakkar, from Ayyub, from Yahya ibn al-Haris, who reports from Ibn Amir, that Ibn Amir read out the Quran to Al-Mughira, and Al-Mughira read out to Usman. Ahmad ibn Yazid al-Halwani also said, it is narrated from me also from Abu, it is narrated to me also from Abu Misr, who said, it is narrated to me by Ayyub, Suwaid, Sadaqa, and Hisham ibn al-Ghaz, from Yahya ibn al-Haris, from Abdullah ibn Amir, from al-Mughira ibn Abi Shahab. Ad-Dani said, so the narration of these four people is in harmony with the narration of Iraq from Yahya ibn al-Haris. So this has been further pointed out by Dani himself, so that there are four other people who report this narrative from Yahya besides Iraq ibn al-Khalid, thereby negating the critique of Abu Ja'far. So viewers, now let us take up the third point of critique which has been responded to by these three gentlemen. The third point of critique which Abu Ja'far ibn Jarir al-Tabri had presented, as you would recall, was that Abdullah ibn Amr has not ascribed his reading to any particular authority. In fact, his words are that this is the reading of the people of Syria. And therefore, he had said that in the absence of any such ascription, how can it be said that Abdullah ibn Amr's reading is from Usman through Al-Mughira ibn Abi Shahab. So this was the critique. Now, while replying to this critique, Sakhawi says that as far as this narrative is concerned, which says the narrative actually had been recorded and presented to you earlier on, the words of that narrative were, Hazihi hurufu ahli sham allati yaqra'unaha, which means that these are the recitals of the people of Syria which they read. So As-Sakhawi says that this narrative is not against, it does not go against the fact that Abdullah ibn Amr had a chain of narration going on right up to Usman. This narrative only tells us that the people were gathered on the reading of Syria. So how can this narrative, according to him, can be used to negate the fact that the reading of Abdullah ibn Amr does not have a sound chain of narration that goes up to Usman ibn Affan? So he outrightly rejects the fact that this narrative is, he says, that is not sufficient proof. A similar path has been adopted by Az-Zahabi also. Now he says that these words of Abdullah ibn Amr, of course the words are Hazihi huruf ahli sham allati yaqra'unha, which means these are the recitals of the people of Syria which they read. He says that these words are not against what Iraq ibn Khalid's narrative has specified. And if you remember, Iraq's statement was that Al-Mughira ibn Abi Shahab is the teacher of Abdullah ibn Amr. He says that how can this narrative negate Iraq's statement? Because this narrative only tells us that the people of Syria have gathered on the reading or they are gathered on a reading. And he says that as far as their own reading is concerned, they could not have been gathered on that, on the particular reading that they were reading, unless a person of the stature of Usman had taught them. Because all of Syria being united on one reading could have only been possible if Usman had taught them because of the fact that they loved and respected him a lot. So this is how a Zahabi has rebutted very similarly to the rebuttal of As-Sakhawi earlier, the critique of Abu Ja'far al-Tabri's concern. Whether we agree with this critique or not is another issue. And inshallah, I will take up my own response to this response given by these three authorities to Abu Ja'far's critique in the next episode. And after that, we will look up and take up some of the other issues related to the canonical readings before we close this topic. So until then, أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ